At that point, the leadership style changed immediately from one of go for it, lead ahead, own this expedition, to one of I am now in charge and everything that I say, you follow to the T. And in fact, I made them do it in silence.
Hey everyone, I'm Katie Traxton and you are listening to Anatomy of an Agency, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of everything that goes on in the talent industry. In this episode, we are joined by world record-breaking explorer George Bullard. George has achieved some remarkable records over the years, including the world's longest unsupported polar journey and being part of the first two-man kayak to travel from Greenland to Scotland. George is always one step ahead and even knew the first question that I was going to ask him.
I always get asked the question, what is an adventurer? And I would say that it's a very broad brush. You can be an adventurer of anything that you enjoy, you're curious about, intrigues you. But perhaps in the Edwardian sense of the word, being an adventurer or an explorer means charting new maps and finding new lands and discovering new species, perhaps, of animal. Whereas, of course, that really doesn't exist anymore to a greater extent. Of course, the depths of the oceans are still pretty unexplored, and there are occasionally some species that do crop up that we don't know about. So perhaps what is an adventurer for me? What is an explorer for me? I've spent the last 20 years on expeditions and adventures in some of the world's most remote areas, beautiful landscapes and vast, desolate areas of ice often. And for me, that constitutes an adventure where I am going somewhere new, seeing something different, learning things about other cultures perhaps as well, but also perhaps setting new world records for human endeavour and endurance perhaps. So I think it's a very broad question of what an adventure is, and I hope that off the back of this podcast we can encourage as many adventurers in their own right, in their own topics of curiosity, to explore further beyond what humans have done before.
At what point did you think, right, I'm allowed to label myself an adventurer or an explorer?
I mean, I'm still trying to work out what I actually am. But I think when it comes to giving yourself a title, I was like, I've got to commit. I've got to do something. I mean, I can't just be George. I mean, maybe I can, yeah. Maybe I should have done that. That would have been better. But I broke a few world records, did a few challenges, which were pretty unusual for such a young person to be involved in. And at that point, people said, why don't you come and give a talk to our company or our school or our gathering? And I thought, well, why not? That sounds quite fun. So I, whipped together some presentation with some cool pictures of the various challenges and stuff that we'd done, and thought, you know what? I think now people are interested in what I'm doing, they're asking questions, and I can go for it. Got to leap in with both feet and give it everything. And maybe that's a tip for an aspiring adventurer of this sort, an explorer of this sort, is leap in, give it everything you've got.
At what point do you decide you can be all in? Were you like 11 years old when everyone's thinking, I want to be a Premier League footballer, or the studious are thinking, maybe I want to be a doctor? Are you having dreams of ice and rainforests and thinking you want to be an adventurer? Or does that come later on when you start exploring the world?
I mean, I never lay in bed and thought, gosh, I want to be in a tent on an ice cap. That'd be so nice. But I think my relentless curiosity for what's up the tree, what's around the corner, what's in that river, how hot's that river, how deep's the river, how tall is that mountain, what's the view like from the top? All of these things, all these questions are burning, even in me today, in my mid-30s. I'm still curious about, what the view is like from on that first branch up that tree. And I often meet my wife, picking her up from Great Ormond Street Hospital, where she's a paediatric nurse, and she will testify to this, that I often meet her outside the hospital, but I don't just sit on a park bench. There's some gorgeous trees around, so I just go and sit in the tree. Everyone thinks I'm completely weird, and I probably am.
Sounds very normal, actually, yeah.
But it's honestly the perspective you get from being up there. It's part of the reason why I love doing these adventures and expeditions and challenges is that the perspective you get on my own life, perhaps, but also on life in general, more holistically, is eye-opening. And just by lifting yourself off the park bench, where you know, people walk past and may join you on the bench momentarily for a bite to eat or a coffee, and then they go about on their daily way, and you sit there, perhaps on your phone or whatever. But from the tree, just 6 foot off the ground, looking down and looking around and watching the world go by underneath your feet is something I think that's pretty accessible to most people. A tree is all you need, and a willingness to take to climb to the first branch, and sit there and watch the world go by gives it such a unique perspective.
I'll do that when I have time. How do you get started? Like, I know obviously you can tell a little bit of insight into your story of your first adventure, but for anyone out there thinking, I have exactly this curiosity George is describing, that's me. But they don't really know how to channel that into a thing. What's that? How do you take that first step?
Time is the most valuable thing that we own. And I started when I was quite young, using my school summer holidays, which are unbelievably long. And I chose to, instead of sitting in front of the TV and watching Netflix for the entire afternoon, I chose to go to the park, I chose to climb a tree, I chose to use my time doing these things, which potentially, on face value, aren't fun, cool, or what the majority of the population do. But I chose to go for a walk up Ben Nevis. I chose to go for a go for a walk in the park or in the Lake District, or go for a swim in this lake or whatever it is that's accessible to you. I chose to do that with my time that I had. And maybe we are all short of time. I completely appreciate that. But my best piece of advice for someone who's starting is that use every single moment that you have, whether that's weekends or evenings, to go out there and start. And nowadays we can post so much online, and we can demonstrate our skills on Instagram and other platforms like that, of us outside. And that is it's now even easier, I would say, to start. And I often get asked, you know, what do I do? And I'm just like, get out there. And anything, it hasn't got to be a great, vast expedition where you need millions to fund it, because that's very, very difficult, and still is very difficult for everyone involved. From the first timers to the seasoned, hardened, leathery adventurers out there, it's still difficult getting funding and sponsorship for the big expeditions, because they're expensive, and unless you're lucky enough to have that sort of finances behind you, or that sort of capital behind you, it's nearly impossible. And hence why that barrier to entry to do those big expeditions is pretty high. But you've got to start somewhere. And that starting point can be as simple, as short, and whatever you know you can manage. And with that, you then creep up. If it's something you really enjoy, then you'll keep doing it, and you will keep getting out there, and you'll keep being in nature, being outside, being on an adventure type of thing. And hey presto, after a few years, suddenly that opportunity will arrive. And that opportunity can knock so quietly, and at a time when you're not expecting it. And it can be a simple, flippant question from a friend of yours saying, do you want to go and climb Ben Nevis this weekend? And if you really want to be an adventurer, the answer to that question is probably yes. I'm going to prioritise that. I want to go and climb Ben Nevis rather than go and sitting in the pub with my mates. I want to go and do that because that's, for me, a better use of my time. And so there you go. It's the use of your time and taking these opportunities when they knock very quietly.
So using your time well, not necessarily needing money at the start, but one thing I would say, some of your expeditions, you know, we might talk about some of your world records, we can drop those, the longest unaided trek of either pole, I think, first person a pair to kayak from Greenland to Scotland. Sounds like you need to be quite fit. How fit do you need to be to start out on this exploration journey?
Yeah, to start, you just need a willingness and an enthusiasm to do it. So fitness is not an excuse for anybody. You know, you can adventure in your own way, in your own location, and in your own, within your physical capability. And as I said, if you enjoy it enough and you want to keep doing it, and there's so much of it is unglamorous and unattractive and uncomfortable, that, you know, the people who don't really want to be there, they're only there for the Instagram shot, perhaps, wouldn't go the next step and wouldn't take on these bigger challenges because, as I said, they're uncomfortable, they're unpleasant, they're scary, your life's at risk. But if it's what you want and you get a huge amount of enjoyment and pleasure and satisfaction and fulfillment out of it, then you will take that opportunity and you will make that priority and you will take the time to do it.
How personally intrepid do you need to be? Is something like Duke of Edinburgh a good thing to do when you're at school? Or do you think actually you kind of need to be venturing off on your own, exploring new frontiers, even if new frontiers is the forest behind your house?
Anything is good. Anything. If you want to become an adventurer of the sort we're discussing, then anything in the outdoors, that you'll gain experience, confidence, and the willingness to give it a go and try, even if you fail. And I think failure is an amazing thing. And well, I'd love to speak about the trips that haven't gone well, because it's very easy speaking about the stuff that has. But actually, the stuff that hasn't gone well is, in some ways, much more reassuring for those people who are perhaps starting out.
I totally agree that you learn much more from failures than from successes. So go on, what are your top tips for the rest of us to avoid? I say the rest of us, I'm not climbing any trees, but I'm not adventuring through the Arctic, I would just die. But for those who do have your adventurous spirit, what are your top tips so that they can maybe avoid a few of the pitfalls? Although some of the things that you learn, I think everybody needs to learn along the way, and it's good for all of us.
I might even say I don't have any top tips for anybody. How controversial is that? I have nothing for anyone. That's actually totally not true.
You might have said it, but you're not going to.
Just trying to collate three top tips in my mind, because I think these three top tips actually are nothing to do with anyone else. They're to do with the individual. So, and they're mostly character traits. I'm going to say curiosity, enthusiasm, and then I'm going to nick one from the Royal Marines, cheerfulness in the face of adversity. And those three character traits can get you through almost everything. And perhaps we can even take those into normal life. A bit of curiosity, enthusiasm, and cheerfulness in the face of adversity, because we're all going to have it.
Do you have an example of when those have benefited you?
Of course.
Would you share it?
Of course. I think that the first two, the curiosity and the enthusiasm, are pretty sort of clearly demonstrated in just having a career in adventure. You know, you've got to be curious and you've got to be enthusiastic to do these things. As I said earlier on, they're uncomfortable, they're unpleasant and unglamorous. And certainly at the sort of the Arctic world record breaking end of the spectrum, they're really boring for most of the time, and they're difficult. So I think those two are absolute fundamentals just to have innately throughout life, and it might be something that your personality has developed as you grow up, and those two are just fundamentals that you need to have, and you can't really lie about that. That will just happen, you know, as it happens. And then cheerfulness in the face of adversity, of course. Gosh, where to start? Perhaps at the very beginning. And I would also love to talk about, polo trips haven't gone well, but I'm going to go right back to my first trip that I did as a 14-year-old. It was a school swimming trip that we did with an amazingly inspirational swimming coach who I still see a lot of and speak to a lot of today, a bit of a mentor of mine. And he gathered together a group of maybe 15 young people from school who were real keen and enthusiastic and curious enough to go and spend hours in the swimming pool training, and then at weekends go down to Dover Harbour and train in the cold water for swimming across the channel from England to France, 22 miles. And I got through this whole process, which might have lasted 3 or 4 months of dedicated swimming. And in fact, it's on TV. It was on Channel 4, embarrassingly. But I got to the last round, and then I was cut at the very last minute. Because I wasn't good enough to swim the channel. Now, that was pretty gutting, but amidst all the disappointment and sense of failure in myself, the cheerfulness in the face of adversity and the relentless curiosity and the enthusiasm saw me when I learnt of the team's departure at 4 o'clock in the morning. I broke out of home, left home without telling anyone, and went to their departure point just to wish them good luck. Not because I wanted to go, I just wanted to say, guys, I would absolutely adore to be with you. I understand I'm not allowed, but good luck. Give it beans. And this inspirational guy turned around to me and said, George, do you want to come? And I was like, oh, yes. And so I was on the bus and no one knew where I was. I had to quickly run back and tell the people who I needed to tell that I, in fact, had been called up to the team at 4 in the morning. And off I went and joined the team. And we did it. So, you know, obviously that's a sort of a positive sandwich, but right in the middle there was a moment where I could have just thrown the towel in and, you know, beaten myself up about not going and not making the cut. But even to the last second, I was keen enough to go out, wake myself up in the middle of the night, you know, at 4 in the morning to go and wish my successful teammates good luck. And perhaps that's a good example as a start of a 10 of how even up to the last minute, you know, you can remain cheerful in the face of adversity.
I think that's a great example. And what about for people where maybe they are a bit further on their journey? So they've done lots of things, you know, on the side of studying or having a job, and they'd love to have a career as an adventurer, but they're trying to kind of take that next step to improve their profile and get spotted for things. When you finally get that big break, how do you make the most of that?
A big break can arrive in different forms, but it sounds like it's something that you should investigate further. But that big break could also not be quite what you're expecting. It could be meeting someone at, I mean, no one really says hello to anyone on the tube anymore, but it could be, and it has happened to me, where I've started chatting to someone on the tube just because they're reading the same book, or I don't know, something in common. I'm just strike up a conversation and they look as shocked as everyone else does on the carriage that I'm speaking to someone. But that big break could be something along the lines of, I work at a company, we're having a team day tomorrow, come and give a talk. Or I'm planning an expedition and I'm looking for a teammate, do you want to come? Or another, you know, much more menial example, but really nice to meet you, I'm going to the pub tonight with a few mates, do you want to come? And I'm like, I've got no plans this evening, I'd love to come. It might not be something that's ordinary to turn up when you've only met someone once, but you just never know who their mates are or who their friends are and what their story is and what they're planning. And so, you know, I think big breaks come in loads of different ways, and I'm not encouraging people to be yes people, because I think there's obviously downsides to being yes people, constantly saying yes, not making any time for yourself. But
have, you know, an adventurous spirit.
Perhaps is a take home from this too. You know, I look back through my life and I can't believe how all the stars seem to align. And I think everyone does that to a certain extent. You look back, you scroll back the clock, and whatever decisions you've made, you look back and you think, God, if I hadn't met that person, or that hadn't happened, or I hadn't made that micro decision to stay there for that tiny bit longer, this wouldn't happen, this wouldn't happen, I wouldn't have met this person, I wouldn't now be in this house, married, whatever, and this wouldn't have happened. We can all do that. And so I think that unending desire to see what's around the corner, meet that person, talk to that person, find out about that, or be curious about that, can lead to a big break, which could be just anything. And for me, that I get quite inspired by that. I get quite a lot of energy from just like, God, where did that opportunity, where did that conversation take me? And you know, suddenly you'll end up in somewhere which you'll reflect on in time and be grateful for that moment that you took.
I couldn't agree more. On a more sedate level, but I couldn't agree more. What about the next step along, when you are a bit more established and maybe you're actually having to lead things, and now suddenly, arguably, it's not as easy when you're suddenly in a leadership position to just kind of say yes, be enthusiastic, go along with things, follow instructions, be a great team player. You've got a lot of responsibility and a lot of people looking up to you. Do you have any examples of how you've handled challenges kind of having to step into that role?
Yes, I do actually. And I would probably give your viewers a little bit of a caveat here. What we're about to talk about might be disturbing for some people. I was asked to be an adventure leader on or guide on a trip that didn't go well. And it's an accurate or a specific answer to your question, so I'm not sort of dragging things in just to tell this story. I think it's a very good example where we had to make leadership decisions from the front. So the expedition was in Svalbard. There was 75 young kids. I was in charge of a small group of 13 of them, as their adventure leader. So I was responsible for all the adventure stuff that we did, ice climbing, walking on glaciers, dragging sledges across the island, whatever it was going to be. And initially, the aim of the expedition was very much encouraging the young people. These guys were between the ages of 16 and 21. And it's very much about encouraging them to take responsibility for their opportunity that they grabbed onto for themselves. And they were in this environment. So the opportunity was right there in front of them. They'd done the hard yards, if you like. And at this stage of the expedition, the leadership style was very much like, you guys take this where you want to take it. We've got 2 months now to do whatever we want. What do you fancy doing? Here's a map. And all I said as the leader was, here are the boundaries. We can't go this way, that way, or we can't spend more time here or less time, whatever. I just gave them the parameters. And these 13 young people were like, off and organized this most. And put together this most amazing idea, which they were all bought into and they were all passionate about doing. Anyway, so that was the leadership style at the beginning. 2 weeks into the trip, we were poised. We were camping about 3 kilometers up a glacier. And suddenly in the morning at 7:30, we had a call on our pagers and then onto our sat phones where there'd been a horrific accident. And a tragic accident where a young kid had been killed by a polar bear. And there were 4 other injuries, casualties of this situation. And at that point, the leadership style changed immediately from one of go for it, lead ahead, this is the parameters, own this expedition, to one of, with my experience and with the position that I'd been given on that trip, I am now in charge and everything that I say, you follow to the T. And in fact, I made them do it in silence, just so there was no laughing, smug, because they didn't at the stage know exactly what had happened.
Because this wasn't in your group?
Because it wasn't in our group, exactly. So we got the call that someone else had been attacked, another group had been attacked. And so at that moment, the leadership style changed. And I think, coming back to your question, the experience that this person that we're talking about, if you're a bit further on in your career, and you're being asked to take leadership decisions, which was what your question was. The experience that you've gathered so far in your career then comes to a head. And not only that, but the position you'd been given and the relationships that you had developed within your team enables you suddenly to change that leadership style to one where you're leading from the front. And you're saying, right, everyone listen to me. Something bad's happened. I need you to operate and listen to my instructions in absolute silence. This is not a joke or a drill. And so I think, in answer to your question, it's the experience that you gather, it's the position you've been given, but it's also the relationships and the trust that you built up within your team that enable you to make those decisions and lead from the front.
My final question. You've talked a lot about purpose that comes from within, being very self-motivated and driven to achieve things. But you also briefly referred to how hard it is to get funding for larger scale expeditions and some of the really exciting kind of new frontier stuff that you might want to do. Mm. How important is it when you're looking for sponsors or anybody to come together with that you have a bigger purpose that you can kind of pitch that will benefit the world in terms of what you're saying your expedition is for?
Absolutely essential, especially nowadays. In the early 20th century, when exploration was at its peak, brands were falling, or brands and companies and corporations were falling over themselves to try and give people money just to make it to the South Pole or just to make it to the North Pole. That is the catch. That's the hook, rather, is I am going to here. That was enough. Whereas today it's completely not enough. Your mission statement isn't at all about you. Well, depends occasionally, I suppose, but the purpose, I think, has got to be intertwined with going to this amazing place, but also I'm going to be bringing this information or this data or this is going to be an ulterior purpose, which is going to give the expedition or challenge or adventure, whatever it is, a bit of meaning, whether that's raising money for charity, whether that's discovering new scientific data about yourself and so on and so forth. So I think it's absolutely essential that you have a different angle on it, because otherwise brands are like, look, we get all of these stuff coming through the door every day and you've just got to be a bit different. And everyone's finding it difficult. So I'm absolutely no expert at it, but I wish you the best of luck. Wish you the best of luck. Not maybe you need it too, but wish you the best of luck for finding your next expedition sponsor.
There's a lot more to it than luck, as George has so eloquently explained. That's all for today, but don't forget, you can get in touch via email, gvo@goodvibesonlytalent.com, or on social media @goodvibesonlytalent. And if you're new to the podcast, don't forget to go back and check out some of our older episodes. Until next week, it's bye for now.